My beloved brothers and sisters, there is a property of matter universally displayed in the heavens and in and on the earth, by which things and individuals are kept at rest or in uniform motion unless they are acted upon by some force that changes the conditions or alters the course. We call this property of matter inertia. Inertia is evidenced in many different ways, in the things we work with and through, in our personal lives and in our homes with our families, in our relations with our fellow men and with our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the way we do or do not honor and magnify the priesthood and our offices and callings in the church. Inertia can work against us or it can work for us, depending on our starting point and our attitude. It works against us if we are at rest and are content to remain that way without getting into action. Procrastination, which is the practice of putting off intentionally and habitually those things that should be done in a timely manner, not only wastes time, but it leaves our lives empty, unfulfilled, and unhappy. Inertia works for us if we are in action and are moving forward and upward in meaningful ways towards all important goals based on a clear understanding of who we are, where we came from, why we are here, and where we are going. Now, as we think about those things, my brothers and sisters, perhaps it would be well to remind ourselves that no matter who we are, we pass through life but once, and whatever record we make is made forever. We live our lives, of course, in the present, one moment at a time. But time keeps marching on, and with each tick of the clock, the present is continually becoming the past, and the past cannot be changed. But it is also true that with each tick of the clock, a part of the future becomes the present. Thus, the key to a successful and happy life is to strive diligently always to make the most of each moment as it arrives. And if we can learn to practice the self-discipline necessary to do that, our past will become glorious to behold, and our future will be assured. The greatest loss of power that there is, my brothers and sisters, is the loss that results from the failure of individuals to reach their potential. Now, there are many reasons why that is so. But if we reduce them to some common denominators, I believe we could say that perhaps four of them are of prime importance. One being failure to have adequate, realistic planning in the picture. Secondly, a lack of desire, commitment, and dedication. And the third one, failure to use time effectively. And the fourth one, failure to correct mistakes. Now, as we think about that, my brothers and sisters, let me suggest that we think about the 26 letters in our English alphabet for just a moment or two. Now, we can repeat those 26 letters forwards or backwards, but when we do, they have little meaning because they have not been put together with real purpose and direction. But when they are put together with real purpose and direction, the end product is great prose, great poetry, heartwarming songs, sacred hymns, scripture, scholarly scientific papers, and so on. Ernest Hemingway, who authored one of our bestsellers, is reported to have said on one occasion that he found it necessary to rewrite the opening chapters to his books 45 to 50 times before he felt they were ready for public consumption. And when he put that kind of effort into the job, he was able to do the kind of a job I have referred to, prepared it for public consumption. How many of us are willing to put that kind of effort into putting things together in our life, my brothers and sisters? Because as it is in using the letters of the alphabet in writing, so it is in putting things together in our lives. Action is all important, but the right kind of action, purposeful action, is of prime importance. The wrong kind of action can destroy. We need to put things together in meaningful ways so that the lives that we live are rich and purposeful rather than just putting in the time. Many poets, philosophers, and others have written about these things, my brothers and sisters, but for just a moment or two, I'd like to ask you to consider with me some of the inspired utterances of our own Richard L. Evans, now deceased, of course, as given over time in his wonderful Sunday morning from Temple Square presentations. And this will be a quote from some of those presentations. The past has its place and is valuable for lessons learned. The present also has its place, and what we cannot change should not needlessly keep us from looking and moving forward. Nothing lost or left behind should keep us from now becoming what we can become, from learning what we now can learn. There are new decisions every day, every hour, and reasons to improve and to repent. Whatever we are, wherever we've been, each day we have some opportunity to determine direction. Whatever the past or its meaning or its length or its losses or its lessons learned or left unlearned, we go on from where we are, wherever it is, and become what we can become with work, repentance, improvement, with faith in the future. Some things we inherit. Some things are passed to us from others. But this doesn't make of us anything we aren't. We may enjoy the talents of others, but this doesn't develop our own. We do not suddenly become what we do not cooperate in becoming. We do not learn well what we are not willing to learn. In indifference, some things may remain in our minds. Some things may attach themselves to us. But generally, what we are, what we do, what we become is because we are willing to put in for what we want to get out. Basically, we always were. And what we shall be is what we are, plus what we add to it, always and forever. And there would be no better time than now to decide to learn, to do, to develop, to work, to improve, to produce, to increase our competence, to extend ourselves in service. The darkest day in life, said Alan Shawn, is the one in which we expect something for nothing. Nothing comes from nothing. Nothing ever could. End quote. My brothers and sisters, if we are to make the most of our lives, we must have a desire to do so, and we must work at it. We must recognize that we are spiritual children of our Father in heaven, that we are here on earth to be tested and to prove ourselves. We must heed the counsel given in the New Testament in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 24 as follows. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. My brothers and sisters, one of the great challenges we face in the church today is that we have too many priesthood holders who are at rest. And because they are, oftentimes their wives and children are not as active in the church as they could be and should be. I challenge all of you, brethren, who are in the category I have referred to awaken, arise, and advance, so that the gospel of Jesus Christ, so the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ can be experienced in your own personal lives and in the lives of your loved ones. Do not be content to just go through life and put in your time. Resolve that you will make the most of your life, live the gospel, keep the commandments, and set the proper example before all. Do not shortchange yourselves and others by being too easy with yourselves. There is too much at stake to take this matter lightly. Now, those who have leadership responsibilities for working with these brethren and for building the kingdom and saving the souls of our Father's children, which, of course, is the main objective of all that we do in the church, should be imaginative and ingenious in seeking ways and means for getting through to the minds and hearts of those for whom we have responsibility, and for getting them involved in meaningful ways. I have learned in my lifetime that the key to activity is meaningful involvement. We do really learn to do by doing. Seaman A. Knapp, who is considered to be the father of the demonstration method of extension teaching, once said this, or is reported to have once said this, what a man hears, he may doubt. What he sees, he may possibly doubt. But what he does himself, he cannot doubt. How true that is. Let me suggest in conclusion, my brothers and sisters, that each of us conduct a personal interview with ourselves periodically. And to make this most meaningful, we need to have challenging goals for ourselves that require us to stretch ourselves in order to attain them. Let us be truly objective with ourselves as we conduct these personal interviews. Some of the best planning and supervision that any of us can take part in is the planning and supervision that we do for ourselves as we take definite steps to chart a meaningful course in life by establishing goals and methods for reaching them, and then checking up on ourselves. In doing so, we should let the gospel of Jesus Christ be our guide and use the measuring sticks that the Lord himself and his prophets, including our living prophets today, have given us for our guidance. My brothers and sisters, I pay tribute today to our great prophet and leader, President Kimball, and testify to you that I know in my heart that he is indeed a true prophet of God. And I'm so grateful to be associated with him and the other brethren in having a part to play in building the kingdom. And I leave you my testimony, my brothers and sisters, in all humility, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.